Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, want to center the thought of the message upon those words, our gathering together unto Him. A gathering, of course, includes a number of individuals, a company, an assembly, a crowd, a group come or brought together. Paul calls it our gathering together. You can't really have a gathering unless it's together. He could have said and been grammatically correct in saying our gathering unto Him. But he adds the word together for the purpose of emphasis. Our gathering with each other unto Him. Our gathering simultaneously unto Him. This morning we preached on the most dreadful of all gatherings, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through verse 15. I will not be a part of that gathering because of the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ, because I have free pardon in Jesus Christ. But I will be a part of this gathering that we read of here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. I want to speak this evening on a glorious gathering. The first thing we want to notice is that this gathering is linked to the coming of Christ. Notice, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that is, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So the event that causes this gathering is the return of Jesus Christ. This is the cause of the gathering. Paul uses here the fact of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him as incentive. We beseech you, brethren, he's pleading, on the grounds of or by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, what I am pleading with you about, I base on the grounds of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. And then notice verse 2, that's expressing the result, what should be the result of thinking about the return of Christ and our gathering unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. He draws a conclusion in verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. So, he uses the coming of Christ and our gathering together, which occurs at the coming of Christ. He uses these two facts, these two events, as incentive for you and I. But again, this gathering together is linked to the coming of Christ. All through Scripture, we are reminded that Jesus is coming back. We have the very words of Christ. John 14 and verse 3, He told the apostles on the Passover night, "I will come again. I will come again." He told them that night that He was going away. But He said, "I will come again. I will." That is, He will come in person. He will not send a representative. He will come Himself. We also have the words of the angels. At the ascension of Christ in Acts 1 and verse 11, they said, "This same Jesus, this very same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner." We have the words of God-inspired men declaring and reminding us over and over and over in the New Testament that Jesus is coming again. All through the New Testament, we are urged to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We are told, we are exhorted to watch, to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. We are to desire the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 and verse 20, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." That ought to be our heart's desire every single day. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So we are reminded repeatedly that Jesus is coming again. We are never told the hour. We are never told the day. We are simply told to watch and to be looking. Matthew 24 and verse 42, "For you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Matthew 24 and verse 44, "Be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." James chapter 5 and verse 8, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. No one knows when, but it draws nigh." It draws near. Jesus said, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." Obviously, it is not for us to know when Jesus is coming. But we are to live in constant expectation of His return. Very, 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 very few live believing, really, truly believing, this could be the day that Jesus comes. There ought to be an anticipation. We ought to face each day with that anticipation. This could be the day. This could be the day that Jesus Christ returns. Titus 2 and verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The return of Jesus Christ is the next event in God's plan of redemption. There isn't anything that has to happen before Jesus returns. Nothing. It can be any time. Everything that the Lord does is for a definite purpose. Everything. He is coming back, and He is coming back for a purpose. Isaiah tells us that none of the purposes of God can be thwarted. If you believe that the purposes of God can be overturned, then you have to follow that out and also believe that it is possible that the return of Christ be thwarted. It's not possible. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. After Jesus told the apostles on that Passover night, "I will come again," he went on to say, "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That was the purpose. That I will come to receive you. Why am I coming to receive you? That you may be where I am. That's the purpose. When Jesus returns, it will be for all the saints of God. And it will be only for the saints of God. When he returns, there will be moral individuals living upon earth. There will be religious people living upon earth. There will be those. The Lord can raise the body without opening a single grave. I believe after the Lord returns, you can go take a walk through the cemetery. You won't notice any difference. There's not going to be overturned graves. I don't believe that. The Lord raised that body just like that. It says that in verse 17 that we shall be caught up. What that means is that we will be seized by force, by God's force, carried off by force. Here in this world are the strong pulls of sin, the strong pulls of the flesh, the strong pulls of the world and the devil. And we will be carried off by force. There isn't anything that can keep us here when Jesus returns. Nothing. The Lord will come. He will come in the air. He will not set his feet on earth. That doesn't take place till Revelation 19. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when Jesus comes, there will not be a single one of God's people staying. When he comes, we go. Now, if you're not saved, you're staying. And you will go through what we spoke of this morning. The most awful time that this earth has ever seen. The tribulation period. But there's going to be a resurrection that's going to result in a gathering. And this is a marvelous. This is a marvelous gathering. In this life upon earth, God's people, for the most part, have always been scattered. And they are relatively few. You can go throughout the cities of this country or any other country. Go throughout the cities and the towns of the world. And there are relatively few of God's people. You can go amongst the rich, and there are relatively few that are saved. You can go amongst the poor, and there are relatively few saved among the poor. Go among the old, same is true. Go among the young, same is true. God's people are relatively few. You can go amongst the educated, and there aren't many, relatively speaking, that know the Lord. You can go amongst the uneducated. Same thing is true. Upon this earth, there are very few whom we can pray with, whom we can praise the Lord with, whom we can read the Bible with and discuss the Bible and talk about spiritual things.
There are very, very few who believe. Very few. I believe that's always been so. But when all the children of God who have ever lived from Adam down to the last when Jesus comes, when these are gathered together, they will be a multitude which no man can number. So this gathering that we're talking about is a multitude of people that you cannot possibly count. Revelation tells us that they will be of all nations. They will be of all kindreds and people and tongues. As God told Abraham, they will be more than the stars of the sky. This will be the greatest of all gatherings. In this life upon earth, we are very prone to be cast down and discouraged, because those who truly love Christ and those who try to serve Him are so few. And sometimes we feel all alone. But take comfort and look forward, because a great gathering day is on the horizon of an innumerable multitude. Saints of God who lived at completely different times. People whose lives have been separated by thousands and thousands of years, I didn't say millions or billions, thousands, shall be gathered together. The saints from distant lands who never knew each other in the flesh and could not understand each other's speech if they did meet will be gathered together. And it will be one harmonious fellowship. Everyone in this gathering is a miracle of the amazing grace of God. Amen. Every single one. There will not be a single individual in this gathering who knows not Christ. There will not be a single individual in this gathering that has not experienced the miraculous saving power of the Lord. All in this gathering are miracles. They have all been brought victoriously through the storms. Some may have been brought through the storms thousands of years ago, but everyone in this gathering has been brought victoriously through the storms, through the fires, through the temptations, through the pain, through the sorrow, through the afflictions and the difficulties. Everyone in this gathering has been rescued by God. Every single one. They've been rescued from the bondage of sin. They've been rescued from life on this earth. They have been rescued from the grave. The confusion of languages will be done away. And the assembled multitude beyond number, with fullness of joy, will praise with one heart. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Everyone in this gathering, in the sky, and then in heaven, everyone in this gathering will be saying the same thing. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Praise be to His name. Everyone will be singing the same thing. It will be one harmonious hallelujah chorus. You and I cannot imagine. We cannot imagine the glory of this multitude. We cannot imagine the sound of what proceeds from this multitude. We cannot even begin to imagine. at this great gathering, miracles of God's grace will be revealed, and the shouts of praise will be in perfect unison. The anthem of this gathering and in heaven again will be all about what God has done and who He is. Be no one talking about themselves. This will be a gathering unlike any other. You think of all of our gatherings. There are family gatherings. There are church gatherings. We gather for funerals. We gather for pleasure. On and on we can go. We gather for many, many things. And some of those gatherings are very joyous. But when our gathering together before Him takes place, all other gatherings will be forgotten. Everything else is forgotten. This will be a gathering of complete and entire unity. May I say, there are no such gatherings now. You can't, if you're the only one in the gathering, you're not always in agreement with yourself. There are no gatherings of complete unity. In every gathering on this earth, there's hypocrisy. There's false profession. They creep in everywhere. In this life, wherever there's good, there's also bad. In this life, we gather together many times, but Judas Iscariots always seem to show up. Demases are wherever the children of God are. And Satan comes and appears in all of our gatherings to one degree or another. But all of that will end. It will all come to an end. In this gathering, there will be one opinion. There will be one view. Truth will stand out clear and plain before every eye in heaven. This has to be miraculous. Either that or there's no Baptist there at all. This is a miracle. I mean, Baptists live to fight with one another. They really do. If something's not going on, they'll stir something up. All of that will be gone. Amen. In this gathering. All. There will be no squabbling. There will be no discord. There will be complete and perfect harmony. All wheat and no chaff. Can you imagine? All wheat. No chaff, no false professors. This will be a gathering without any parting. In this life, the separations and the goodbyes of the world are some of the most painful things that we experience in life. Wherever we gather, there comes a point where we have to say goodbye. See you later. There comes a point where we part. And as the years roll on, there are painful gaps in the family circle. It's true of all families. It's also true of churches. Every time we assemble here as Home Baptist Church, there are painful gaps. People that have parted from us that are with the Lord. To be scattered seems to be the rule of man's existence now. We live in a time when of endless hurry. We can hardly sit down and catch our breath before we're off again. And whenever there is fellowship, and those times seem to be getting fewer and fewer and fewer, it must end. It must end. Fellowship in this world, in this life, ends. Every April, when we have our conference, many people will say, I just wish this wouldn't end. But it's going to. Because that's the nature of life. It ends. The cares of the world, the necessary duties of life, the demands of our families, the demands of our various callings in life, all of these things tend to eat up our days and make it impossible to have the fellowship with God's people that we would like. Well, I'd love to be there, but I've got another engagement. But the hour's coming, and we'll soon be here for our gathering together unto Him. And goodbyes will forever be gone. Our gathering together unto Him. Goodbyes will be forever gone. All the hurry, all the hustle and the bustle, forever gone. In this gathering, no problems will exist. There is no such gathering today. Even if you don't know about the problems, I guarantee you, if two people get together, there's problems. Wherever there's people, there are problems. But in this gathering, there are no problems. In all earthly gatherings, there are problems, there are trials, there are difficulties. There are afflictions, there are sorrows and heartaches and burdens and struggles. In fact, these things are the theme of conversation in many gatherings. We find comfort in talking to others in our gatherings, having the same difficulties that we might have. And we share our difficulties. That won't be the case in this gathering. There won't be anybody in this gathering that'll be talking about their problems because they don't have any problems. All problems are gone. There won't be anybody in this gathering that'll be talking about sorrow and heartache. Why? Because it's all gone. Absolutely no problems in this gathering. We can't imagine. We cannot begin to imagine. And there won't be any pain. There won't be anyone saying, you know, my shoulder is really bothering me today. All pain is gone. This is a gathering of absolutely no problems. Everything of the world will be gone. It's amazing. It's amazing, and even God's people are guilty of how we try to make heaven like the world. They try to bring as much from the world into heaven. It wouldn't be heaven. The world, everything in this world is done. It's gone in this gathering. Oh, but I'll miss. You won't miss anything. Because this gathering in the presence of the Lord surpasses your greatest joy on this earth. You will not miss a thing. Will be a gathering where there is no sin. You and I have never been in such a gathering where there is no sin. We have never been in such a gathering where there is no disease, no sickness, and no death. Again, there will be no parting in this gathering. There will be no bad news. There will be no disappointing news. There won't be anyone saying, "Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about what happened to so-and-so?" That's all over. That's all over. Oh, we hear so much today. And it's heartrending. And it's disappointing. So-and-so has quit the church. So-and-so has gone off into the world in a life of sin. There will be no such news in this gathering. None whatsoever. This will be a gathering of untold joy. Again, there are many gatherings on this earth that brings us some joy, that brings us some happiness. But all such gatherings are interrupted and can be interrupted at any time. And all such gatherings must end. But there's coming a day. And it could be today. There's coming a day when we're going to gather unto Him. And there will be a joy that you cannot even imagine. And it will be endless joy. A joy without any sorrow whatsoever. We don't know that kind of joy today, because we all have sorrows. But all sorrow will be gone. We that are saved, there are few in this life that we can rejoice with, and we can praise God with. And how wonderful it is when you can just spend a few hours with the saints of God. How it refreshes and how it encourages us. But you can't even imagine the joy and the gladness and the bliss of being gathered with an innumerable multitude of God's people. And there's not a single flaw in any of them. Not one single flaw in any of these that are gathered. And they're all there praising the Lord. It will be a gathering unto Him. Our gathering together unto Him. That is, He is the central focus of the gathering. He will be the central focus. There will not be anyone trying to get attention drawn to them. All eyes will be upon Him. All thoughts will be upon Him. And we shall see Him. We shall see Him clearly. Now those in Revelation 20, they too will see Him clearly, but have a completely different outcome. When they see Him clearly, they will tremble because He's their judge. But we're going to see Him clearly. In 1 Corinthians 13, we might be 2 Corinthians 13. Might not be that either. But anyway, now we look through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, we shall see Him clearly. We shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3. Notice if we turn there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him. In this gathering, there will not be anyone seeing for someone else. We shall see Him. We shall see the King in His beauty. We shall see Him. We shall see Him as He is. This is the most beautiful gathering that there will ever be. Together unto Him. Our gathering together unto Him. Together with reverence to Him. Together exalting His name. Together magnifying Him. Together all voices raised to Him in praise and gratitude and homage. This will be a gathering of celebrating, of glorifying God, of bowing down before Him in joyful triumph. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, concerning this gathering, concerning the return of Christ, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. We don't have much longer. You say, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, it just keeps getting closer and closer and closer. But there's not much longer. And we're going to be gathered together with Him. A glorious gathering awaits us. As we get older, we ought to even anticipate His coming more and more and more. We ought to look forward to it more. We do so many times for selfish reasons. There's a lot of reasons I want the Lord to come, and most of them are selfish. But oh, it's almost here. It's almost here. Look up. Because there's coming a day of rescue. I've already been rescued out of the chains of sin. And one day I'm going to be rescued out of this body. And out of this world. There's not much in this world that even appeals to us anymore. Amen. And it gets less and less every day. No reason to want to stay here, really. Right. A day of reunion is coming. Yes, saints will be enjoying a reunion. But it won't be, oh, it's so glad to see you. That's not what it'll be. It'll be, look at Him. Look at Him. And everyone will be praising Him. It'll be a day of revelation. Again, we shall see Him clearly. It'll be a day of rejoicing. Again, when Jesus comes, and He could come at any moment, all who know Jesus Christ as Savior will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All those who are without Christ will be left on this earth. I have known people through the years, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I have known people through the years who have actually written out instructions to their children what to do if mom and dad are raptured and they're left behind. You can write out all the instructions you want to. The Bible says they're going to be deceived. They're going to be deceived. Your instruction will not do them any good. I appreciate the concern that people have for their loved ones, but your instruction will not help them. because they will be deceived by the Antichrist. And they will live in this world during a tribulation period. And they will be cast in the lake of fire. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. I'm sure you're not, in comparison to whoever you're comparing yourself with. When you compare yourself to absolute perfection, you and I are awful. And as we saw this morning, they will be judged according to their works. You have no hope if you're judged according to your works. I'm glad today that I'm judged according to His work, what He has done for me. We look forward. I hope and pray that before another member of Home Baptist Church goes on to be with the Lord, that we all go to be with Him at the same time. That the Lord would descend and we'd all be caught up together. We the saved have something to look forward to. We have a blessed hope. But if you're here and lost, you have nothing. You have nothing. This is as good as it gets. What a horrible thought. This is as good as it gets for you. Trust Christ today. There is forgiveness today. There is mercy and grace today. Once you take your last breath, there is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. Trust Christ today. Don't lean upon your works. Lean entirely upon the works and the person of Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him to be merciful to you. Only the Lord can save you. I can't save you. There isn't anyone here that can save you. We have no magic wand. Only the Lord can come where you are and save your soul. And He'll not only save your soul, He'll save your life. And He'll spare you from the wrath to come. And I can't wait to see the one who saved my soul. I read about Him every day in this book. And oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But that's nothing compared to seeing Him. For what we're going to see in that great day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.